And we have Brother Ricky Cook, Laurel Church of Christ in Laurel, Maryland. Brother Ricky, will you tell us the things the devil doesn't want us to know? Thank you very much.
Good evening, and thank you, Brother Stroud. I want to say first and foremost that we are grateful to our Father and God in heaven for all of his love, mercy, and blessings. God is a God of blessings, and he blesses us so much until we take many of his blessings for granted. Every day we breathe God's air, we feel God's sunshine, or experience God's rain. It is God who gives us our portion of health and strength. And even in times of trial and trouble, it is God that blesses us and sees us through. The psalmist declared back in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We want to thank the Highland Heights congregation and all of those who work behind the scenes to make this effort happen, and certainly we want to thank all of those who have dialed in, and especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, but you put a premium on God's word and on God's will, and you were kind enough to dial in tonight to search the scriptures with us that we may see whether or not these things are so. As has been indicated, we want you to join us at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. We pray that you have a Bible handy and that your fingers have some lotion on them, because we're going to search the scriptures this evening. As one old preacher said, it's not a problem if we jump around in the Bible. It's a problem when we jump out. Certainly we want to search the scriptures this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We want to focus our attention this evening on verse number 4, where the apostle there declares that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And from this text, indeed, we want to use as a subject things the devil doesn't want you to know. And as we consider the text that we have before us here in 2 Corinthians 4, I am willing to venture that everyone that has dialed in and is a part of this audience, at some point in your living, has had something happen or done something that you didn't want others to know about. If you're a child, or if you can remember back to your childhood, maybe you ate that cookie or that piece of candy that your parents told you you couldn't have. If you're a teenager, perhaps you didn't do as well on your report card as you had hoped, or were even so bold as to go somewhere you knew that you shouldn't have gone. For those who are adults, it may be that you spent more than you were supposed to spend, or that you spent what you shouldn't have spent in the first place. It could be that you put a dent in the family car, or maybe put a dent in your spouse's car or lost your job. But whatever the situation may be, I believe that all of us can relate to having known something that for whatever reason we didn't want others to know. Throughout the Bible, we read about people who knew something that they didn't want others to know. The sons of Jacob didn't want their father to know that they had sold their brother Joseph into slavery. Achan didn't want Joshua and the rest of Israel to know that he had stolen of the spoils of Jericho. David didn't want Uriah to know that he had violated his wife. The 12 disciples didn't want Jesus to know that they had been arguing over who would be the greatest. Ananias and Sapphira didn't want Peter and the apostles to know for how much money they had sold their land. It is nothing new in the human experience to know something or have done something that you don't want others to know about. And when we find ourselves in possession of information that we don't want others to know, there are some things that we will do in an attempt to keep them from finding out. Maybe we will tell only part of the truth, or maybe we'll be out and out dishonest, but there are things we will do when we don't want others to know the truth. Here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul declares that the God of this world blinds the minds of some to keep them from the truth of the gospel. Now, I know that the God of this world is the devil, and in fact, we find Jesus declaring him guilty of similar activity in Luke chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12 in your Bible. In Luke 8 and beginning at verse number 11, the Bible says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But I think it begs the question, why, pray tell, does the devil want to keep us from the truth of the gospel? And I believe that central to understanding why an individual does something, one must understand that individual's person and purpose. Consider the person and purpose of the devil. Now, concerning his person, he is the father of lies. And again, we have the clear declaration of Jesus to this end. In John 8 and verse number 44 in your Bibles, Jesus says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, Jesus tells us that the devil's person is, he's a liar. Now, we know further from searching the scriptures that he seeks the destruction of all humanity. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 in your Bibles, it is declared, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So when we understand the devil's person and purpose, it is very much in keeping with his person and purpose that he would endeavor to blind the minds of those that believe not, to keep them from the truth of the gospel. The devil endeavors to keep us from the truth of the gospel because he knows the gospel is God's power to save. And again, Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, you have to understand some things about the devil, just like the devil understands some things about us. Now, the devil realizes that everyone is not easily deceived. Thus, in his efforts to blind us to the truth of the gospel, he employs some dirty, low-down, and underhanded tactics. He encourages us to let personal desire compete with the will of God. He gives us traditions and customs that we might reject the commandments of God. To be sure, the devil is willing to do whatever it takes to keep a soul from being saved. And understanding these things, let us look at some things that the devil doesn't want you to know. Number one, the devil doesn't want you to know that it matters what you believe. We live in a world where more and more it is being advocated that the truth is relative and that there is no absolute truth. This is the devil's doctrine, for there is a truth that is absolute, and it is neither bound nor negated by the opinions and philosophies of men. In your Bibles, in John 12 and verse number 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, Jesus says there is a truth, and the truth is so true that I'm not even going to argue with you about it. If you reject my word, it will still be the standard by which you will be judged in the last day. But when it comes to the truth, the devil is like a defense lawyer with condemning evidence against his client. He wants it suppressed. He wants the gospel suppressed because he knows that it is God's power to save. The devil would love to have the Bible suppressed from the minds of men, and he has fathered all kinds of hateful lies against the word of God, moving people to question, how do we know that the Bible is right, or to say things like the Bible was written by men. It was written by men that were inspired by God. But see, the devil wants to prejudice our minds against the very truth that he himself believes but refuses to obey. See, the devil understands that prejudice blinds us to the truth, and if the devil can influence us to make up our minds before we are confronted with the facts, he realizes that we will reject the facts in favor of our prejudices. You consider this COVID situation that we're in. Now, whatever your thoughts about the COVID pandemic may be, I'm sure you can appreciate that people have made up their mind one way or the other before they ever received any medical evidence. Some people haven't checked any medical evidence even now, but still have very strong opinions or strong convictions about the veracity of this pandemic. And I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not here to try to sway your mind one way or the other, but I am a gospel preacher, and we do want to stand on the word of God. And with this pandemic, if you can understand the illustration that I'm using, based on a predetermined belief, people are only willing to hear or acknowledge evidence that supports what they already decided to be true. Well, when we talk about the word of God, the worst way to search the scriptures is with a prejudiced or predetermined mind. See, an honest heart searches the scriptures objectively. We are told in Acts 17 in verse number 11 that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with a ready mind and that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We still need to search the Bible today as to whether the things that we have been told are so. But I submit to you that not only does the devil not want you to know that it matters what one believes, the devil doesn't want you to know that it matters how you worship. Again, in your Bibles, in Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 9, Mark 7, verse 6, he answered and said unto them, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Now that we have from the mouth of Jesus that it matters how you worship. Our worship must be after what God has commanded in his word and not after the tradition of men. But see, the devil doesn't want us to know that there is a difference between having a good time and glorifying God. In fact, he would like us to believe that simply because we had a good time, God was glorified. But again, we need to be sure about what Scripture says in every matter. In your Bibles, in Ecclesiastes 5, in verse number 1, it says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." Now, here we have an inspired writer saying, simply because you have a good time does not mean that God was glorified. What is the sacrifice of fools? Well, appreciate, first of all, that a fool's problem is not a lack of intelligence. A fool's problem is that he's wicked. He knows the will of God, but will go against it anyway. See, self-will in worship is wickedness. Rebellion in worship is wickedness. Thus, the sacrifice of a fool is worship offered contrary to the command of God, or worship offered in the absence of authority from God. Jesus declared in John 4, verse 24, that God's word is true. And anything we offer to God ought to be offered in agreement with his word. Because if it is not offered in agreement with his word, then the question begs to be asked, by what authority are we offering it? And we cannot offer to God simply because it makes us feel good. The devil doesn't want us to know that there's a difference between having a good time and glorifying God. And then the third thing, the devil doesn't want us to know that it matters what church you belong to. We are told in Ephesians 4 and verse number 4, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. Now, Paul had earlier defined in that very letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, that the church and the body are one in the same. And if there is one body and the church and the body are one and the same, then there is only one church. Contrary to popular opinion, all churches are not the same. And it is in religion that men seem unable to discern the difference between same and similar. A Lexus and a Yugo are similar, but by no means are they the same. Someone once observed that you know you have something good when people begin to imitate it. Well, the devil saw in Acts 2 that God began saving men in the church of Christ. Now, he also realized that he couldn't keep everybody away from the church. So what he began to do was to set up counterfeits. He began to set up things that looked like the church, things that were similar to the church, and started telling people that it didn't matter what church you went to because we're all serving the same God. But many people that have embrace the counterfeit. The thing about counterfeits is you have to be able to tell them for what they are when you see them. Many people have tried to spend counterfeit money, not knowing it was counterfeit, until someone with a trained eye informed them. But you know, there are some tests you can run to tell whether or not money is counterfeit. You know, they have these markers that you can mark the money with. And if it's genuine money, you'll get one response, but if it's counterfeit, then you'll get another response. Well, there's a way that we can tell the true church from counterfeit, and that way is by the word of God. Well, now, someone may ask the question and say, well, preacher, what makes you think that there are counterfeit churches in the world? I see a difference between what Jesus said he was going to do in Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus declared that he would build one church, and what is seen in our religious world. There are hundreds of denominations or religious groups in America alone. And the question needs to be asked, how do we reconcile that with what Jesus purposed in Matthew chapter 16? Well, the Bible teaches us to know a counterfeit when we see it. Again, in your Bibles, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read starting at verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, starting at verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, in verse 1, Paul has already told us that some people are going to leave the genuine article for seducing spirits, people that had they were smooth talkers, and doctrines of devils, things that were just contrary to or not in agreement with the word of God. "Speaking lies in hypocrisy," verse 2, "having their conscience seared with a hot iron." But now watch what he says in verse 3, "forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Now notice what Paul said there. Paul said there that those that know the truth know that marriage is honorable in all. Those that know the truth know that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if you read there in verse 4, if it be received with thanksgiving. Well, you can probably think of some religious groups in your own mind that command that certain people cannot marry or that command that it is wrong to eat certain foods. Well, when we run that by the word of God, Paul says that those things are the doctrines of devils. There is an old expression that says, "What you don't know can't hurt you." I disagree with that expression. What you don't know can not only hurt you, but what you don't know can kill you, and in particular, kill you spiritually. And one of the most ironic things about knowing the truth is that God has so ordained it that the truth cannot be kept from us if we earnestly desire it. God has promised in Hebrews 11:6 to reward those that diligently seek him. And the devil knows that if you search the scriptures with an honest heart, God will reveal to you everything you need in order to be saved. Well, what we need to be saved must come from the word of God. Therefore, it must be written in God's book. And when we talk about what a person needs to do to be reconciled to God, number one, they need to hear the good news that Jesus died for our sins, buried, but raised the third day for our justification. In Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Having heard the gospel message, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus says, "Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Believing the gospel message, the good news that Jesus is the Christ, leads us to the realization that we need to make a change in our living. Biblically speaking, that's called repentance, which is a change of mind that leads to a change of living. We began to live our lives after the commandments of God. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, the Bible declares that God requires all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Christ Jesus. Having reached the stage where we realize that we want to turn and live according to God's word, we must make the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus declares, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." And even having done all of that, we must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. The first time the gospel message was preached in Acts chapter 2, The question was asked what they needed to do to be reconciled to God. In Acts 2, verse 38, the answer given by Peter and the other apostles was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we go down into the waters of baptism as an obedient response to God's command, God washes away our sins by the blood of Christ Jesus, indwells us with his Spirit, and adds us to the church. Now, the devil doesn't want anybody to know that. But God makes it clear to us in his word. And if you are listening to this broadcast and you have not yet been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, if you are not yet a member of the Church of Christ, the opportunity is made available to you this very evening, and you can reach out to the host of this call. You can reach out to the one who was kind enough to invite you, any member of the Church of Christ nationwide, and we will baptize you in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and God will add you to the church that was established by his Son. As you continue to seek God's will and God's way, may God bless you and may God keep you.